Well, good morning, family. Let me first say thanks to Papa Randolph and Mama Renee. And my wife sends her love, and that happens to be me. Greetings from Trinidad. It's an honor to be here, really. And I just came to bring a reminder. You know, there was this king, he's called King Richard, and he never lost a war, never lost a battle. And he had a trusted aide on his side, and would ride with him and saw all these conquests. But how many know that sometimes life can beat you down? And then suddenly you forget who you are. And in this particular battle, the king sounded a retreat because it was just too much. And I just want to speak to those who probably life has beaten you down. And he started to retreat, and it was just too much for the aide. Never saw his captain, never saw his king did that. And so it just was too much. And he rode up on the side of the king, and he said, "Remember who you are. You are King Richard the Great." And something clicked. I stand very humbled in this pulpit. And it's like, what can you preach? Because there's such a high understanding of the word here. And therefore, I just want to share my story. The gospel as it is revealed in this flesh. And so I just want to probably talk about what is it really about? And then how it works. What is it really about? And to me, the greatest revelation of Father God to the earth is the revelation of Son, our Son to his Father. It's the greatest revelation. If we can understand our sonship, then we can understand who Father is, settles the score. Recently, I have four children, one adopted, five. The youngest was starting school. And so on the first day of the school, it's a big day. And so we said we're going to leave a certain time, but the time just kind of creeped up on us. And so we found ourselves driving up late. And he was with his friend. I was taking his friend with him. And my brain was on fire. Where I'm going to pass, what I'm going to do, what shortcut I'm going to take. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I'm looking back in the back, those two guys, totally oblivious to the facts. And I said, yeah, guys, daddy's going to get you there. I don't want to remind you, you have a father. Amen. And it's some of the stuff that you are thinking of, and you are really throwing a fit about, I just came to tongue to tell you. Rest yourself. We say that in Trinidad. Rest yourself. Rest yourself. And so, rest yourself. You know, at this age, I realized that I need a good night rest. Especially when you are in a conference that starts 8 and you're getting a battery of speakers coming at you. You can start to cut some fish if you're not rested properly. But I tell you what this does, the revelation of a son. I found myself waking up half 2 at times. I'm not sure if it was jet lag. I don't think so. And when I got up, it was like, God, I have a long day tomorrow. but I know you have this too. In fact, if you want me to wake all night, I will wake. There is such a confidence that my Father even has my sleep. And if stuff is not going the way that you planned it to go, hey, you have a Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But so let me get into my story. But that was not always my story. So, you know, so that is really what it's about, sonship. Sonship to a father, right? But how it works, that was not always my story. You see, of course, you know, I came from an East Indian home. And how we got to Trinidad, 1845, they started to send indented laborers from India to our country. It's a big story. Grew up, my time is so short, so I want to say so many things in my heart. So let me see if I can say it fast. And yet not talk Trinidadian. Because Pastor Tamu came to Trinidad and he said the first time somebody had to interpret English for him was in Trinidad. So if I speak Trinidadian, you won't understand what I'm saying. Yet I want to say it fast.
Give them a little bit, bro.
Next time. that's how we got there. Similar story to South Africa. And growing up in an East Indian home, by the time my father came along, he just did what his father did to him. I mean, East Indians in Trinidad, they are real crazy people. The husband and the wife don't walk together. The husband walks somewhere in the front, the wife is somewhere behind. She's, you know, they don't hold hands. And so he's walking, and what is happening these days, he's walking, and when he looks back, somebody rides out with her in the sunset. Well, the way Indian men works in Trinidad, it's kind of real, real foolish. God bless my father. He died 30th of June this year. And but do you know something? Never heard my father say, "Son, I love you." Never. And I'm not sure that is unique to Trinidad or if it's something with East Indian men. I'm not sure. But guess what? Then, to add to the story, I was the middle. I am the middle, sorry. I have an elder sister, younger brother. And he found some way to show love to my younger brother. And you know, whatever was the story, you know, I had to pay the cake. So you grew up with a mindset. Now, we play cricket. Brian Lara is from Trinidad, in case you didn't know. I would play cricket. And I was such an introvert. That's what life did to me. I would walk out to bath, and I would be cold sweating. And, you know, we in church in those days, born in a Hindu home, grew up, we are in clothes, so I, you know. And by the time I started to go to church, I am telling you, we'll be in a circle holding hands to give a testimony. And it will be, when you finish your testimony, you'll be looking for somebody to say, well, God bless that person. It meant it was you, your turn to testify, right? I had one little script here, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for thee. And I'm praying in Jesus' name. Please, nobody say that. Because if they say that scripture verse, I have nothing else to say. And by the time it came around to me, I mean, there will be a pool of water. I was cold sweating so much. Life can beat you down. I was afraid of my own image. I mean, if you left me in the rain for 2 weeks, couldn't even catch a cold. And make matters worse, then I was thrown into the ministry. At 21, 22, I was already in the ministry. Obviously there was a calling on my life. God saw it. But a transition had to take place. I couldn't do it in that condition. And guess what? I pastored so far a number of years. It was just a mess. It was just a mess. I never dated girls. Thank God for my wife. Was afraid to even tell a girl, hey, and it worked. Thank God. I've been married for 27 years to one wife by the grace of God. These lips have not touched another woman, and thank God for that. It helps you. It helps you. And I bless anyone. If you have had struggles, that's okay. God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. And so by the time, and so to make it, let me cut this story short and see if I can bring some truth, right? Amen. What happened? What happened? I discovered some things. By the way, I went to the church and the church didn't help, honestly speaking. Because the church that I grew up in and the church that I knew, and I thank God for what the Lord has revealed unto me and what he has revealed to you in this church. Do not take for granted what you have. Let me say it again. Do not take for granted what you have. Because I know what you have. And I cherish it. That's why I'm here. The church, for the most part, was like that woman that Jesus met. Remember? At the well? This woman, Jesus went there and he said, give me drink. And you know the whole story. Well, of course, it came down to the place where Jesus said, yeah, you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not even your own. And but Jesus said, the water that I will give you, you shall never thirst again. For it shall be in you, springing up into everlasting life. Here was a woman that was, five represents grace, but she was living from six, the number of man. And she was living, drinking from an external source. But Jesus was saying, if you receive this life that I'm going to give you, you would, we have a, I don't know if you say it here, you kick the bucket? Yeah. Well, when she met the seventh man, that as I met him, you kick the bucket. You die. Yes. The Bible says that, amen, hallelujah, we died. Yes. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Amen. And she went to the village and said, come see the real man. I don't want to point you to the seventh man today. I want to point you to Jesus, because the sun is not about, 7 billion suns. It's about one sun being revealed in you. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And a lady came to our church. There was a few of them like that. She said she was going to another church. She didn't get transport. She heard a voice says, go down by Pastor Raj. She came. This woman was a retired high school teacher, but was in serious depression. It seemed as though demonic oppression. And she said, she came to church. She said it was very hard for her to stay in church that day because she heard voices keep telling her, get out. So by the first week, the second week, she said, Pastor, I have to go to see the psychiatrist. You have psychiatrists here, right? So I said, can you come see me before you go? So she came and she had a chat. And for the next few minutes, I'm going to try to put in a nutshell what I shared with her. And the woman started to bawl in the office. I have good news for you. She didn't go to see the psychiatrist. Because what I told her is that what God has called, has asked us to reckon dead, psychiatrist is going to try to uproot. We try to fix what God says, render dead. And they will go inside of you and pull some stuff out. But I want to show you, in Christ, it's all the one. It's It's history. Amen. His history is yours.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen. And in a few weeks' time, in a few months' time, she was driving her car again, and she's totally healed, totally delivered, totally set free. Come, give God some praise. There's another one. Another one. She got up and testified once, and I said, wow, you are a cat. She tried to commit suicide 9 times. You know, they say cat have 9 lives. I just have a sense of humor, right? Sorry. While she was testifying, I blurted it out. But she came and she submitted herself under this word, this teaching. And she testified some time ago. She said, for 1 year straight, I have had not had one suicidal thought. Because the word of God will set you free.
Yes,
the word of God will set you free. And so, what did I get a hold of? Firstly, I found out that change takes place by divine exchange.
Yes,
we tell people go to church and change. We see, if I have a guy, my right hand guy, in our church, he was a bandit. Serious. Jason, pastor knows him. I mean, he was a bad, bad guy. And if he came to church and he got changed, what you had was a change bandit. And that change bandit can change back anytime. But no, the change that you are looking for comes from exchange.
Yes,
and when we understand our exchange, then the change would come forth.
Yes.
How does this change come forth? Firstly, we must understand that his death was our death.
Yes.
Galatians 2:20 is my favorite scripture. What it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Come on.
Yes.
When you wake up, and you recognize, when I step out on this pulpit and recognize, it's not me. It's the Christ in me.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Yes, amen.
Then I'm not cold sweating. Have you realized? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not I, but it's Christ. Because I have been exchanged. Come on. Amen.
Yes.
You see, if you ask the Roman 2,000 years ago, who was that on the cross? He would say, well, that was some Jew that dare blasphemed his religion. They hung him. If you asked a Jew, who was that on the cross? He would say, hey, he dare made himself equal with God, so we crucified him. But if you ask God, who was that on the cross? He would say, that's all men. For 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for we thus judge that if one died, then all died.
Yes, amen.
John 12:31 says, Jesus, speaking of the cross, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all peoples unto me. And the Bible says, this spoke he, signifying of what manner of death he would die.
Yes.
When Jesus went unto the cross, it was not one man. Come on. Paul says, it is the greatest power that was ever exerted in human history. That we will know the surpassing greatness of his power. It is according to that which God wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Why was it the greatest power? Because it was not one man that God had to raise. When God raised Jesus, he moved back to Adam and he moved forward to every human being that will ever live. Not 7 billion men, but every human being. God raised him, raised them up in Christ Jesus in the work of the cross. And so the first thing I had to come to terms with is that his death was my death. Not only his death was my death, but his burial was my burial. Amen. Romans chapter 6, we don't have time to get into it. But verse 3 says, knowing that if we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his death. And just as he was buried, we were buried with him. But not only that, when he was raised, we were raised. So Let's get on to the story. Amen? So not only say crucified with him.
Crucified with him.
Things that you know, remember, I'm just reminding you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Died with him.
Yes.
Buried with him. So in the mortuary, there was this guy. He's this, and it's a true story. My sister's a nurse. They know the story. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. That they already said that. So this guy would drink the alcohol in the hospital, come in drunk and drink the rubbing alcohol. Always drunk. So one day the nurse told him, take this guy down to ward 3. So he went merrily along his way, taking the guy down to ward 3. But there's a bump going down on the road to the mortuary. Ward 3, mortuary, you know, similar. And so there's this bump, and while going down, the guy came out from surgery, was asleep, right? And so while going down the road, the trolley hit the bump, and the guy woke up. And he saw what? Mortuary. Of course. So he got up and he said, hey, guy, where are you carrying me? The guy slapped him. He said, that's the problem. You're dead and you're still talking. Our problem is a dead man talking. Buried with him. But not only are we buried with him. Come on. Amen. The Bible says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, had he made alive. Had he quickened.
Yeah.
Amen. But not only did he make us alive, but he raised us up.
Yeah.
Together with Christ. Yeah. Now, I need to show you. Bring Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. I just want you to see it. Just something I'm trying to get at. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive. Somebody say together.
Together.
I and Joseph came in together.
Yeah.
In fact, the last time I checked, my head came in together with my body.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As far as God is concerned, you see, identification is not that we identify with Jesus. No, no, no. God identifies us being there.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, you didn't hear me. Come on. God saw us there.
Hallelujah.
And when we see ourselves in the event of the cross,
yeah,
my God, it makes the whole world of difference.
Yes.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Look at verse 6. And raised us up together.
Yeah.
And made us sit together.
Hallelujah.
In the heavenly places.
Amen.
Come on, say, crucified with him.
Died with him,
buried with him,
made alive with him,
raised with him, and now seated with him. People have a problem with me because they want me to cast out a demon of sleep, a demon of overeating, a demon of everything. But I say, if you understand that Jesus Christ was raised to sit far above principalities and
powers,
come on, amen, and we are raised to sit with him. I don't have time to fight with demons. Come on, cast your demon out of yourself. Come on. Because you are seated with him far above.
Amen.
We give the devil too much space and too much coverage. Come on. Hallelujah. So a guy, listen. A guy was in prison. He got a hold of some Kenneth Hagin teachings. Teaching something like what probably I'm teaching now. And this guy committed murder. So he told the guys, after he got a hold of it, he said, listen, I'm coming out on parole. So they said, you're crazy. Nobody ever, having killed somebody, comes out on parole. He says, that's where you are wrong. He says, because the guy you are watching here never killed anybody. The guy who killed that guy is no longer. He's dead, buried, and gone.
Hallelujah.
You're looking at the new man in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because if anyone be in Christ,
yeah,
he's a new creation. Come on.
Yeah.
All things are passed away. Yes. Behold. Amen. Hallelujah. For he who knew no sin was made sin, that I will be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, how much time I have? This time is gone.
Can I
give you 5 minutes? Yeah. I'll give you 5 minutes. Okay. So that I have 10 then.
You have grace.
So the first thing you need to know what happened to you. Yeah. But you see, you can know what happened to you in Christ Jesus, but it never affects you, you know.
Yeah.
The two guys, one was successful, really living successful in the church, and one struggling. Both of them come in the same church. And so the one who was struggling asked the other guy, what's the difference between you and me? The guy said, 13 inches. He said, 13 inches? He said, yes. That's the distance between your head and your heart. So not only do you need to know who you are in Christ, because 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that the God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. So what you know, you need to take and renew your mind. Because head knowledge is not going to get it done. What you know in your head must configure your heart. Then it can inform your feet. Amen? Yeah. And so I will, if you just for the sake of the notes, Romans 12:2, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Matthew 17:2, and he was transfigured. Yes. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, yeah. And we behold as it were in a glass, the glory of the Lord are being changed. Those three words are the same words, metamorpho. Yeah. And what is... How do we renew our mind? Amen. What is renewing of the mind? I understand and I've recognized that what you focus on, you create.
Yeah, sure.
The more you look at your problems, the bigger they get. You can know all this stuff and leave here and go back home and focus on your issues. The more you focus on your issues, the bigger they get.
Yes.
How many remember Numbers chapter 21? When the serpents were sent into the camp, after they had, I mean, the normal thing, run in God's face and jump in Moses' face, and serpents were released in the camp. But what was the story? God said, make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and as much as looked on the pole and saw the serpent, they were healed. Remember that? Jesus said, even as Moses was lifted up that bronze serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yeah. What's the point? The more you look at the thing that is biting you, the faster you die.
Yeah.
But if you could look at the cross and see your issue on the cross, you will be healed. So the change that we are looking for that comes from divine exchange, first you must know what happened to you in spirit. Secondly, you must renew your mind on a daily basis with all the truth of who you are in Christ. So that you can be transfigured, that the glory of the Christ within you can shine through your being. That's how change comes. Amen. Hallelujah. The last one is present. So you got to know. You got to renew your mind. Know what happened to you in spirit. Renew your mind, your soul, but then present your bodies. Because I recognize that if you know and you even renew, but you keep take these gates and presenting it to the wrong thing, you will be very confused. Romans 6:16 and 19, those are the verses that you want to look at. But it simply says, don't you know to whom you present yourselves, slave to obey? His slave you are.
Yep.
Whether of sin leading to death.
Yeah.
What are you presenting this body to? We come and we, We want to worship God. Amen. Send the fire. But I've recognized that if you don't put the sacrifice on the altar, there will be no fire.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Worship is not what we do here. The first mentioned principle is when Moses went up and he said, I and the guy will go worship. You remember that?
Yeah.
First mention is that which establishes the boundaries of a truth in Scripture. I'm trying to say so many things fast in my my 30 seconds. Amen. Hallelujah. And true worship really only takes place when we are able to lay down our all on the altar of sacrifice and rise in his life, the life of the Son. Because that's what happened with Moses, with Abraham. He laid down his life figuratively and he took up his life in resurrection life. His son's life and resurrection life. True worship is really what we do. That's only the expression with words. But if we have not laid down our lives, we have not worshipped us yet. And therefore, the change that we are looking for, which is his son being revealed in the earth. Amen? It comes as we understand divine exchange. As we know who we are in Christ, as we renew our minds to the truth, and as we present our bodies on a daily basis, then watch it, watch what's going to happen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you.